from NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music
in the hands of America's kids.
Here's today's guest host, pianist Orly Shaham.
Thanks, Joanne. Welcome to From the Top's second ever hybrid show. Hybrid because some of the brilliant young people I'll be introducing you to today were recorded remotely, visiting recording studios near or even in their homes. And some of them I actually performed with in person. I have to tell you, the in-person stuff you're going to hear was deeply rejuvenating for us all. Being able to make chamber music with these talented teenagers after not making music with anyone for months, it felt so good. You're going to get to hear that great work, which we put together at Merkin Hall, not far from my home in New York City. And we owe a hearty thank you to the Kaufman Music Center for hosting those New York sessions. The long-distance recordings, also full of joy, were done all around the country, like in the Philadelphia area. That's where our first young performer, 14-year-old pianist Alyssa Gabrilovich, is from. Here she is performing two of Sergei Rachmaninoff's Etudes Tableaux, Opus 33, No. 1, in C major, and Opus 39, No. 1, in C minor. 14-year-old pianist Alyssa Gabrilovich from Villanova, Pennsylvania, performed two of Sergei Rachmaninoff's Etude Tableaux, Opus 39, No. 1 in C minor, and Opus 33, No. 1 in C major. I've had the terrific pleasure of hearing her play these etudes before. I was the judge, or one of the judges, at the Kaufman Music Center International Youth Competition. And Alyssa, you came on and you played these two etudes. It was the first thing you played. And I wish I could show you my notebook with all of the exclamation marks and, you know, prize question mark that I started to write in there.
Thank you.
Really beautiful. So that was a competition experience that was actually quite positive, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of great things happened there.
Yeah.
But I know that you have a story about a competition experience. It's probably one of the worst competition experiences I've ever heard.
Yeah,
can you tell
definitely.
Us that?
Oh, yeah. So I have really dry and cracky skin when the weather gets really bad because my hands are really sensitive. So I had cuts. And like 5 minutes before I went on the competition, I was practicing in the practice room and I had a Band-Aid on, and then I took it off to play for the, you know, competition. And I thought everything was going to be okay. But like in my like second piece, I started seeing like red keys. I peeped and my like whole like finger was covered in like red and it was bleeding. And I had to play two more pieces. So I just had to keep going. And I got so scared. And also, since I got so scared, I started, like, moving really weirdly, and I almost fell off my bench, too. I was, like, at the edge, because my, you know, dresses are so slippery, you know, ugh. And so
terrible.
I was, exactly, and I almost fell off. It was so embarrassing, and then I just stood up, and, like, I had tears in my eyes, because, like, oh, my God, like, I just, like, failed. But they gave me honorable mention, but I think they gave me that because I was bleeding, you know, out of pity. But, yeah, it's a fun story.
I think it's, you know, when we're on stage, there are so many things that can take away from our concentration.
Yeah.
But you very rarely expect blood on the keys to
exactly.
be one of them.
Exactly.
Now, I heard that you and I have something in common, that your parents are both scientists.
Yeah.
My parents were both scientists as well. Tell us about what they do.
So my mom is a cell biologist and my dad is an immunologist, and I kind of have no idea what that means, but I do know they work with like cells and all that stuff, basically trying to find a cure for cancer, which is really cool.
Yeah, maybe when if our families ever got together, there could be two strands of conversation,
yeah.
Right? The music and
the cells
science.
And how they correlate with each other.
The other thing about your parents that's like my parents is your parents are immigrants. Where
yeah.
did they come from?
They came from Russia.
And were you born in this country?
Yeah, I was born in this country, but I kind of wish I was born in Russia. I kind of want to see Russia. It's kind of cool. But yeah, I was born here.
How has it affected you to be being raised in an immigrant household?
So definitely Russians, they are known for being aggressive. So definitely that is one thing. But it also, it kind of makes me different in a way. I mean, because a lot of people, they have parents who were born here, so I kind of get that culture from them, which is really cool. I also understand Russian really well, too, so it's kind of cool that I have another language with me. But the food is also really good. That's definitely, like, impacted. But the whole culture, it just makes it different in the household, which is nice to have.
I want to tie that back a little bit to your musical selections. Do you feel particularly drawn to Russian music
yeah.
and maybe Russian pianists?
Yeah, exactly. So my teacher is also Russian, my piano teacher. So I feel like we definitely go for like Russian music. But I like Russian music more than any other music because it's like, you know, Russian power, you know?
Well, I encourage you to keep playing that repertoire because it certainly needs to be played beautifully. And that's what you've done. And you've played this Rachmaninoff etude so beautifully. Thank you so much
you.
For joining us today. 14-year-old pianist Alyssa Gabrilovich from Villanova, Pennsylvania.
For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
Okay, now we travel to Georgia, where the 15-year-old cellist Brandon Leonard went into a recording studio to do this remote session with us. Brandon is from the town of Stone Mountain, and wow, what a deeply expressive cellist he is. He performed the first movement of Eugene Ysaÿe's Cello Sonata. Thank you. That was 15-year-old cellist Brandon Leonard from Stone Mountain, Georgia, performing the first movement of Eugene Ysaÿe's Cello Sonata, Opus 28. Brandon, that was incredible, so heartfelt, and it's fiendishly difficult, and you just had your fingers all over that cello. Thank you for that beautiful performance. And I have to tell you, Ysaÿe is so famous for his solo violin pieces. I'd never heard this solo cello sonata before. How did you come across it?
I was looking up unaccompanied works because I wanted to start working on some. And I came across Ysaÿe's cello sonata. And it looked fun, so I decided I'll play it.
Obviously, you're looking for solo works because it's hard to play together with people. But you were telling me that you've got a good method for practicing. What have you been doing?
Over quarantine, I met friends from virtual camp this summer, and we've continued to do practice Zoom, which is where we all go on mute and we all practice to help keep ourselves motivated.
Well, that's a pretty cool idea. I think that's actually brilliant. I may use it myself. Just the idea of feeling like there's somebody in that practice room next to you, which we're all so used to from music school, but of course, without the distraction of having to hear them, right?
Right.
I have a question for you. I know you love this piece, but I hear that classical isn't necessarily your go-to music. Is that right?
That's right. A lot of times I find myself listening to a lot of rap music.
Well, you've brought us a little clip of something that you've been listening to lately. Can you tell us what it is?
It's called The Bigger Picture by Lil Baby. They know that we can storm anywhere. That's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life.
can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere.
Brandon, I'm so glad that you picked this piece for me to listen to. What is it about his music that is so attractive to you?
What I like about his music is that he gets better every song. And also, this song in particular, a lot of people see rap music in a negative manner because some of the lyrics aren't shown in a positive light. But this is different. This shows how rap music can be important and how it talks about social injustice in America. It feels very heart-wrenching, but also empowering.
It's interesting juxtaposition for me to hear you play that Izai and then listen to this. You know, in both cases, brought tears to my eyes. And one was for the immediacy of my life right now, and the other was for a more general human condition. And I think that's the power of great art. Okay, so I want to talk to you a little bit about Stone Mountain, Georgia. So it's kind of a smaller city feel, right, than the big city of Atlanta?
Right.
Now, a lot of people your age are beginning to think about, okay, how can I get out of this small town and go to bigger places? But you have a very different perspective on this.
I really enjoy the community that I live in, and I feel like it's not a bad place to stay. And I like the slow move of things here.
And I heard that you have a kind of a whole idea of how to carve a future for yourself there. What sorts of things would you want to do for that community?
After school, I would like to come back, perhaps get a job in the symphony, and maybe start, maybe not a whole school, but maybe an after-school program that allows kids from the community to pick up a string instrument. Because I think many kids in the area don't even know that this is a possibility for them. They don't see classical music in their future at all. So I think this program would be important.
I think that's very cool. And I really thank you for that gorgeous, gorgeous music you played and for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do for the musical world. We really need you. So thanks.
Thank you for this opportunity.
That was my interview with 15-year-old cellist Brandon Leonard, which was recorded in a studio not too far from his home in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and me listening in from my home, well, my closet, here in New York.
In addition to our podcast, which you can subscribe to in order to listen to our show on demand, From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. These are intimate and fun music experiences hosted by Peter Dugan and recorded right from our young musicians' homes. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Pianist Orly Shaham here, and if you're just joining us, I'm guest hosting this week's program, introducing you to From the Top's unusually accomplished young artists. The next young people on the program have brought us a bit of highly controlled chaos. They're performing Rhapsody in Blue, but not just any Rhapsody in Blue. They're performing Rhapsody in Blue on 2 5-octave marimbas. 17-year-old Bridget Hemesath and 16-year-old Gabe Sia are the two intrepid percussionists I'm talking about. They're both from Chicago, and this is their performance of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, arranged for 2 marimbas by Pius Chung. Thank you. That was 17-year-old Bridget Hemiseth and 16-year-old Gabe Sia performing Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, arranged for two marimbas by Pius Chung. These two were coached by Douglas Waddell and Patricia Dash as members of the Percussion Scholarship Group in Chicago. Guys, that was so much fun. It is going to be stuck in my head for weeks now.
Mine too.
You are totally locked into each other's grooves. Have you known each other for a long time?
Yeah, we've been in the Percussion Scholarship Group for about 7 years now. We started when I was 10 and Gabe was 8, so yeah.
I think I was 9, actually.
You were 9?
Yeah, I was 9.
Oh, whatever. Such a long time ago, yeah. And now we're, of course, in our late teens, you can say. So we've known each other, yeah, a long, long time.
So that's almost half your lives, right?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
So I'm dying to know, because musicians have had all sorts of solutions to making music together during this time. What has your rehearsal process been like? I'm assuming you started by just learning your own parts. Take me through it from the beginning.
So immediately we knew the problem was going to be, where are we going to find two 5-octave marimbas in the same place, right? So the group we're in, Percussion Scholarship Group, is affiliated with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And they have, like, everything you could ever want there. There are, like, cabinets full of sticks, every percussion instrument you could ever want. But we had to find all of that on our own now. So we decided to record in my basement, which is where we are now. And we rented a 5-octave marimba for a week and brought it here so we could practice together.
That is just incredible. Bridget, I know that a lot of students during this quarantine time have been recording themselves much more, sometimes for lessons and just because internet quality is not so good. How has recording yourself affected your playing?
Oh, it's been crazy to realize just not how much I suck, but how many things I can improve on. So yeah, I hear myself and I hear every little mistake I make, and that just makes me want to be more accurate and just improve a lot.
I have to tell you, I actually think that in some ways your generation are going to be terrific musicians much earlier than, for example, my generation because of all that recording. I think it's actually very good for you, so long as you don't, you know, spend too much time obsessing over things you can't control, right?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you two are part of this Percussion Scholarship Group in Chicago, which is one of the country's great free urban music programs. But I understand that your roles within that collective have changed a little bit during this pandemic.
Yeah, we've both began to start teaching the younger kids in our group, the first years, who actually just got their marimbas a couple weeks ago. So yeah, that's been really exciting to see them progress week to week, or day to day, rather.
So Gabe, have you been teaching the younger kids as well?
Yeah. When I was a first year, I probably didn't like have any drive to practice whatsoever. So I kind of get it that these people... Now, especially now that it's online, it's like you're not seeing him face. You're not seeing the teacher every day or every week face to face. So
sure,
it feels like a lot less demanding. But you still have to practice every week, which is where we come in. But
so you've been the motivator in chief while also trying to find your own motivation, huh?
Yep.
That pretty much sums it up. Well, thank you both for such a terrific, rollicking performance of that Rhapsody in Blue. And thanks for doing what you do with the younger percussion students as well. Percussionists Bridget Hemiseth, 17, and Gabe Sia, 16, from Chicago, Illinois.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. And from the Arcus Foundation, dedicated to the idea that people can live in harmony with one another and the natural world.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Coming up, a 14-year-old violinist from New York, New York, performs one of the great violin showpieces by Vinyovsky with today's guest host, Orly Shaham, at the piano. From the Top's in-person recording work this week at Merkin Hall in New York City is hosted by the Kaufman Music Center.
Hi, my name is Jacob Shin. I'm 18 years old, and I play the viola. My parents have always encouraged me to play music. So seeing Itzhak Perlman and Pinka Zukerman play Passacaglia together, as my brother was a violinist at the time, I was inspired to play the viola, to one day, you know, play this piece with him. I played viola for, I want to say, almost a year, and somehow I managed to get into Manhattan School of Music pre-college. I started studying with Tali Kravitz, but after a year, she decided to return to Israel. She wanted me to be in a good place before she left, so she referred me to Miss Kopek, Miss Patinka Kopek, who teaches with Pinka Zukerman and is one of the best violin viola teachers in the world. But after a couple of years with Miss Kopek, I was, you know, trying to get into New York City private school, just like my brother. And I wasn't practicing as much. It almost came to a point where Ms. Kopek was going to kick me out of her studio. But at that point, I had already decided that I wanted to focus on sports. I was fortunate enough to be, you know, accepted into the high school that I currently attend, Riverdale Country School. So the first thing that I did at Riverdale was football, and I was thrown into the sport. Somehow I managed to be starting on the varsity team. I took it very seriously. I was going to recruiting events, but at the onset of my junior year, I had gotten concussed during a football game, and I was out for a few weeks, but with my coaches threatening my starting position if I didn't return, I decided to come back and play, despite not having, you know, been recovered yet. And within the next game, I gotten concussed again. And at that point, my brain just wasn't working normally. I couldn't speak a full sentence. And I had trouble just communicating my thoughts or my feelings. My family and I thought it would be best to just repeat the year. And at that point, I thought about the possibility of music. I decided to go back to the viola. And with no previous purpose, I think I pursued it like I had never done before. It was almost like a fire ignited inside of me. So after passing the pre-screening round at Manhattan School of Music again, I was granted the opportunity to see Ms. Kopek again for a trial lesson.
I'm Jacob's teacher, Patty Kopek. One of the reasons that I chose to teach Jacob again was he has a beautiful sound. And then within that, he loves music. He listens. He would come to me at the lessons and he says, I listen to this one and I listen to this one. And I just love that slide, the way they express themselves. And that, you know, caught my heart that this was a genuine passion. I thought, well, let me give it a try because he's gifted. Let's see how far we go. And I must say, I don't think he missed a lesson the whole year.
Through this music, it being therapeutic, but also, you know, just to get my brain working again, you know, working on the details of intonation, articulation, yeah, music. I mean, music definitely saved me. Around the first few months with Ms. Kopeck, she mentioned the Brahms F minor sonata. I asked her if I could play it, and she was hesitant at first, but she had a bit of faith in me at that point, and she allowed me to play the piece, so that's what I'll be playing today. Thank you.
Jacob Shin, 18 years old, from across the river in Fort Lee, New Jersey, performed the first movement of the Sonata in F minor, Opus 120, by Johannes Brahms. I'm Orly Shaham, and I joined him at the piano. Jacob is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists.
Pianist Orly Shaham is a member of From the Top's team of co-hosts and creatives. You'll hear this group of five incredible pro musicians work alongside our main host, Peter Dugan, to regularly contribute to the program. Learn about all of them at fromthetop.org.
Thank you, Joanne. I met our next young performer at one of her first recitals ever. Even though at that time she was just a tiny little girl, I had this feeling that something special was happening. And sure enough, now at the ripe old age of 14, Ana Isabella España has developed into quite the seriously fun young violinist. Here she is performing Scherzo and Tarantella by Henryk Wieniawski. I had the pleasure of joining her at the piano.
Thank you.
14-year-old Ana Isabella España from here in New York City performed Scherzo Tarantella by Henry Wieniawski, and I had the fun of joining her in person and not remotely on the piano. Isabella, your playing is so beautiful, so many colors, and so clean. I just love you. Playing with you.
Thank you.
Now, unless I'm mistaken about this, I was present at what may have been one of your very first performances. Mm-hmm. Do you actually remember this? This would have been about 8.5 years ago, and you played a really deep piece of music.
Oh, yes. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Yeah, that was one of the most nerve-wracking performances I've ever done.
Well, I was so inspired by your playing then that I actually sent my son to the very same violin teacher that you have.
Wow.
And you've been studying with this teacher for a really long time.
Oh,
can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah, so my teacher is Linnell Smith. I've had her since the beginning. My parents actually met her before I was born.
Wow.
She played at my parents' wedding, actually.
I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah, and so my parents had me, and then, you know, Linnell wanted to get me into music, and once I was ready to start, it was just amazing.
So I know that you live right here in Manhattan, and as a Manhattan resident, you actually like to not only walk on the streets, but play your violin?
Yes. One of the most amazing things about being able to play the violin is being able to busk.
Right.
Oftentimes, I'm raising money for my school. Busking is just such an amazing experience. I've had some good experiences and some bad experiences. I got to actually meet a fiddler in Central Park, and he taught me how to play the violin in a fiddle way, so I had to, like, turn my way of the violin. And I've also had some times where someone has tried to take money out of our violin busking case.
Oh, no.
So
what
luckily,
did you do?
Luckily, the parents were there, and they took care of it, but, yeah.
And when you're busking, you're raising money for the Kaufman Music Center, right?
Yes,
which
yeah.
is the home of your school.
Definitely.
Talk to us a little bit about the school and how it's related to the center.
Yeah, so Special Music School is actually a public school, and it's so amazing that Kaufman helps incorporate music into our everyday schedule. You know, they provide music theory classes, music history classes, and private lessons all throughout the school day, which is so amazing.
Incredible.
And one of the things that I remember is I got to play with Joshua Bell in Merkin Hall here. It was just breathtaking. I was like, I cannot believe I'm here with him right now.
Not a bad perk for a public school, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Isabella, for being with us today and for giving me the great pleasure of getting to play with you.
Thank you.
That was Ana Isabella España, 14 years old, from New York City. To take us out of the program, and in honor of all the wonderful young people we've met today, I'd like to contribute a musical offering of my own. The past 2 Augusts, I embarked on a major Mozart adventure, recording all of his piano sonatas. This is from the first volume of that collection, which I'm releasing October 30th through Canary Classics. I'm pianist Orly Shaham. Please join From the Top next week. And now, the third movement of Mozart's Piano Sonata No. 17 in B-flat major. Thank you.
Top is written and produced by Tim Banker and Tom Vagley, with music director Megan Swan and production manager Matt Dykeman. Our sound team includes editor and technical guru John Escobar, along with our longtime technical director Barrett Willett. Maestro David Robertson became a card-carrying audio engineer for this program, recording all of Ms. Shaham's remote talk sessions. Thank you, David, for all your time and gear. Additional editing this week by Dave Norville. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen, and I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks to all the engineers who ran our remote sessions today, Jay Levin and Sean Svodlinuk at Turtle Studios in Philadelphia, Devin Smith at Volition Studios in Avondale Estates, Georgia, and Eric Arunas in Chicago. Our in-person work at Merkin Hall was engineered by Richard Davis and Gil Schuster. Additional thanks to John Glover and Michael Droke. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.
You're listening to iCast.